Father God, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to study your word. As we go through the financial series, we ask that your word speak to us. Let us apply it to our lives so that ultimately we will be better stewards for all that you have entrusted to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Good afternoon, everyone. Good evening, everyone. Thanks, Reverend Scott. So just want to invite you to, it's a financial mini-series, and it's based on Dave Ramsey's Total Money Makeover. And he has devised a plan for your financial fitness where the cornerstone or the major concept that we will be working through are called baby steps. There's a total of 7 baby steps, so over the next 3 Fridays, we will be walking through these baby steps. And at the end, it will be just a roadmap to lead us to not a stress-free life, but a less stressful financial life, where ultimately we can be used by God to help with kingdom building, being a blessing to our church and the community we serve. And here are some financial facts that you might find interesting. 70% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. We have multiple credit cards with balances where we're striving to live the American dream. There's increased stress on marriages and on individuals, where 57% of divorced couples cited money problems as the primary reason for the demise of their marriage. And that doesn't leave single people out, because without a counterbalance, if you have problems managing your finances, there's no one to counterbalance that. And unfortunately, you can lead yourself down a road of financial ruin. So, how do we deal with and how we view and relate to money is something that we should all take seriously. But where do we go for advice? Because if most Americans are in the same boat, then why are we going to our friends for advice? Broke brother-in-laws, crazy cousins, you know. We're in the barber shop listening to financial advice from the barbers or from the beauticians. Where do we turn? Well, as Christians, we have a roadmap that we can go to. The Bible. And the Bible says a lot about money, wealth, greed, contentment, and a variety of topics dealing with money issues. The Bible has over 2,000 verses on money, and during this series we'll highlight just a few of them so we can look to improve our finances. Now, the one question that I want you to keep in your mind during this whole series is, am I being a good steward? So that would be the theme question that I want you to ask yourself throughout this series. Am I being a good steward? And by the end of the series, we will also have a theme song that I'll have Reverend Scott lead us in. And I'll share what that song is later. But again, for now, am I being a good steward? Now, a disclaimer. This is not a get-rich-quick series. So if you're looking to be a millionaire in 3 weeks, sorry to say, you'll be disappointed. Also, the examples that I'll give throughout this talk are my very own personal examples. So, some of you might look a little differently at me at the end of the series, but it's something where, you know, when you look in the mirror, you know, if it applies to you, it certainly applies to you. And certainly when I was going through this series, boy, have I made a lot of mistakes. So, but they're good mistakes where we can all learn from. And hopefully, some of you have, I'm not saying hopefully you made the mistakes, but hopefully I'm not, you know, on an island by myself. So how I foresee this flowing is today we're going to go through baby step number one. Then next Friday, we should hit baby steps number two and three. And then concluding on the third Friday, actually steps four, five, and six go concurrently. So that'll be actually one section. And then baby step seven, we will have a guest, Brother Mo, who is a bank manager for PNC, and he will be helping us with baby step number seven. So, baby step number one, the starter emergency fund. Well, what's the starter emergency fund? This is to have and save $1,000 as quickly as possible to handle all of life's little Murphys. This could be the easiest step and the hardest step at the same time. The easiest step, because if you're like me, and you'll see later on in the series, is probably the smallest number you have to deal with. But at the same time, it can be the hardest step because it's the beginning of change. And we all know how difficult change can be. So the emergency. No, no problem. We don't want anybody to miss anything. So the first $1,000 in your emergency fund teaches you one fundamental thing, how to save. 66 million Americans, 20%, have $0 saved for an emergency. And then above that, 47% of Americans wouldn't be able to cover a $400 expense without borrowing money or selling something. And when I include borrowing money, that means putting it on a credit card as well. And when you look at that fact, 6 out of 10 Americans this year alone will have a several $1,000 negative financial event happen to them. And that's this year alone. So if you have, let's say, a transmission go, and it costs you $4,000, and we already said that 20% of people don't have anything in the bank, 47% of the people have only up to $400 in the bank for emergency savings. You can imagine it can cause quite a crisis. Very scary thought. Now, when you talk to everybody knows they need to save. Everybody talks about saving, but as you can see, many people aren't saving. I'll tie in Sister Kim's talk from last week. Grandmama used to tell us all the time, you should always save for a rainy day. Grandma's wisdom. That's grandma without the MBA. That's grandma without the PhD in finance. That's grandma without this, without man's wisdom. But the one thing we do know what grandma did have. So you might be thinking, okay, you said 60% of Americans will have a several $1,000 negative financial event. What will $1,000 do? Well, remember, that's just baby step number one. It's just the starter emergency fund. to handle all the small emergencies, the $400 event, you know, when the washer and dryer stops working, if the car breaks down, all the small emergencies that may come our way, that's what this Starter Emergency Fund will do. Because although I don't know what the future will hold, I am positive that it will rain. So two things about the emergency fund. One, it's important that the money is liquid. And it's just fancy word that says you need to be able to get to it. You can't tie it up in a CD, because if an emergency happens and you go to the bank to get the CD, one, you pay penalties, you pay interest, and guess what? Your $1,000 emergency fund isn't $1,000. So it doesn't matter how you store it. You can put it in a money market fund. You can put it in a coffee can. You can put it under your mattress, in a drawer. Doesn't matter where you put it. But you have to know yourself. Because if I put it in a coffee can, then real emergencies aren't real emergencies. You know, when the pizza man comes to the door and you forget your wallet, guess what? Emergency, exactly. So, again, you got to know yourself. It's like when you start the diet. Some people can keep the junk food in the house and walk by the cupboards, no problem. Other people, you got to clear it out. You get it out the house because you won't be able to make it. And then number two, if an emergency happens and you have to dip into that emergency fund, you stop the baby steps, rebuild that starting emergency fund to $1,000, and then you pick up where you left off. Okay, I need someone to volunteer to read Proverbs chapter 3, make sure I'm going, nope, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 5. No, I meant strip that. I need somebody to go to Proverbs 21, verse 5, and then another person, I need to go to Luke chapter 14, verse number 28. So who has Proverbs 21:5? Minister Norm? Thank you. And now Luke 14:28. Thank you. So our two verses, Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead to plenty, but those who are hasty to poverty. Luke, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? So to help us along with us, emergency fund is the dreaded B word. It's called a budget. The plans of the diligent, that's a budget. Sitting down to first count the cost, that is a budget. And I will be handing out homework. Yeah, I guess it's a family budget. Brother Sean, if you will, please. so we're going to kind of dispel the myths of budgets, because a lot of people, when they think about budgets, they think of it as being restrictive. You know, it doesn't allow you to do anything. But budgets are not restrictive. They actually help you direct and tell where your money should go. It gives the direction and a purpose to every dollar that you bring home. So let me ask a question. How many of us have credit cards? Anybody ever finance a car? A mortgage, personal loan, all of the above? I might as well. So what are some of the things that these applications ask for?
Social Security.
Social Security. Name. Work. Uh-huh. Mother's maiden name. Bingo, bango, your income.
How old are you?
Well, date of birth. They'll figure it out. Oh, okay. But income. Minister JC, let me ask you a question. I know you always do a lot with the tithe, and you know a lot of people come to you with questions. Have you ever received a phone call when somebody's filling out a loan application? Say, hey, JC, just asking me about my income. I don't understand the question. Anybody ever call you and ask you about that? And it's funny, because I know when I fill out those applications, you know, my income gets puffed up. I put everything in there on the income line. You know, I include gifts from my parents. You know what? I convert them to cash and cash equivalent, add that to my income. Go to the 7-Eleven, give a penny, take a penny, add that to my income. I do everything possible to increase that income. But if you look at the top line of your budget, flip that first page over. First page just gives you an outline on how to fill it out. But it talks about the tithes. JC, another question for you. When we talk about tithes, have you ever got a question about income then? Yes. It's amazing how to understand the question when it comes to the tithe. I need clarification. I need scripture. I need JC to break it down for me, because I don't make that much. I don't know where God came up with that number from. Because clearly we're on the wrong page when it comes to the tithes. I don't know. But this is me. I'm talking about myself. That when I have to talk about my income when it benefits me, I see how much I can make. But when it's time to give to the Lord, how little I can give. So that's personal testimony. Because I certainly struggled with the tithe in, what year is this? 2017. Quick question. What's the difference between a coincidence, being lucky, and the hand of God moving in your life? I will tell you that luck and coincidence takes a giant eraser, and it erases God out of the equation. So when people start talking about, oh, you were lucky that happened for you. Oh, wow, that was a big coincidence. No, it wasn't. It was God's blessing, and it was God working in your life. So you have to be mindful when you go through these exercises of how God is speaking to you and what he wants you to do. So again, I go back, I struggled with the tithes and not the offerings, because the offerings is what you want to get, right? But I struggled with the tithes in 2017, and give you some facts about Christian giving, not the world giving, but Christian giving. Only 10% of Christians tithe on average. And on total, Christians give at a rate of 2.5%. So what would the church look like if everyone was able to tithe? How much more could the church do? I tell you, I grew up in a church in Brooklyn where we had multiple fundraisers during the year to help support the missions of the church. We had chicken platter sales, we had calendar book contests, we had bus outings, but it became common practice. Not just the church that I grew up in, but the churches in my community. Now, I'll keep going back to my struggles in 2017. And I know Reverend Scott, one time he was preaching, and he talked about, when you go out and you need a new car. So you run out and you buy a car that you can't afford. And then when the payments catch up to you, you're bringing that payment to the altar while the demons mess with my finances. No, it's not the devil and the demons. It's you. It's what you. So when you look in the mirror, find out whether you're bringing it on yourself. But I struggled with the tithes in 2017. Because, I was a good steward, but the tithes were too high. Imagine that. The Lord blessed me so much that my tithes are too high. Got to remember how we're thinking. But I was being a good steward. So I thought. Then Mr. IRS sent my employer a letter. How can it be? I'm a good tax-paying citizen. Sent my employer a letter. Randomly chose me to redo my W-2. Is that a W-2 for your employer? W-2. Thanks, Cassandra. So I was going, they was making my employer make me single, no dependents. So you can imagine how much taxes came out of my check with that. Oof, big difference. So I had to redo my budget because although I was a good steward, the government's not waiting for money. They take it right out, and then you have to adjust your living standards. But I was a good steward. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, W-4, I stand corrected. But yes, Oh, you still file for it. But what's interesting is no matter how much room you make in your budget, seems like bills tend to fill up that gap. No matter how much more you make, it'll just fit right in. So I had to adjust my budget. But I was a good steward. Clearly, there was no pork in my budget. Guess what? I had 3 gym memberships. And guess how many I was using? Thanks, Sister Lil. She just said 0. She said, he ain't doing nothing. 1. So, made the call, got rid of 2 gym memberships. Not anymore. Then I took a look at my DirecTV, took a look at my cell phone, all the little things I can adjust in and out. So, by the end of the year, I adjusted my living standards so I can meet my new budget based on my new take-home pay, based on the IRS sending this letter to my employer. No problem. But you know how when you get something and it makes you nervous so you don't read everything? Well, I went back to the letter. At the very bottom, it had an 800 number. If you disagree with this, call this number. So I called the number. Lo and behold, they readjusted my deductions to married claimant 6. So, of course, I said, coincidence or the hand of God? So I made a commitment to tithe in 2018. So I started tithing. And, you know, I really don't like doing the exact math. So, I said to the Lord, I'll just round up. And once my first check comes with the difference, whatever that is, then I'll make the adjustment, and that's what my tithe will be. The one interesting thing about that is I actually lowered my lunch budget, and I love to eat. But to $20 a week, and you won't believe how much you can eat on $20 a week when you're cooking and you're bagging your lunch. So my first check, and it was like 5-6 weeks into the new year, my first check after my adjustment from the IRS was actually how much I was already tithing plus $20. So it's one of those things where I said, wow, the Lord actually provided the tithe and on top of that treated me to lunch. So you got to always remember what God is doing for you in your life. So I proudly say that I don't tithe in 2018 because I don't give 10% because I round it up. So it might be 10.004 or something. Who knows? But it's more than 10. But again, God put me in a situation where I needed to make adjustments. Depending on him, I made them. And he has certainly have provided. So that brings me to my theme song, Reverend Scott. And when I always think about giving to the Lord and what we should be doing in our budget, I always think about the song, "You Can't Beat God Giving." No matter how you try. Now, what does the budget do? It keeps you focused. Now, if you take a look at your budget, it starts off with the tithes, it starts off with the savings, and then it has different categories of expenses that you might have during a month. And then on the bottom, it just shows percentages of what it should be of your take-home paycheck. But the pastor preached a while ago about the systems of the world. You know, the systems of the world, they are under Satan's control. So they're not designed to help you be a good steward. Look at all the advertising we have to combat. Anybody ever heard this before? The more you spend, the more you save. Really? Again, you got to start looking at things like this. 90 days, same as cash. That is good. That is wonderful. But most people, Most people fail to pay off the 90-day, within 90 days, and then the interest gets backdated. So again, remember the advertising and how they're keeping you from being good stewards. Look at all the different price points. Yeah, I'm in the supermarket business. Nothing's a dollar. Everything's 10 for 10. Nothing's 250. Everything's 2 for 5. We want you to think about spending and spending and spending. Free shipping with a minimum spend. I know my wife came. Free shipping? So you have a basket on Amazon and it says $35. $6 shipping and handling. $41. But oh, wait a minute. If I spend an extra $15, I get free shipping. So we spend an extra $15 and all we think about is free shipping. But you paid $9 extra. You got to start looking at all of these things. Are we being good stewards? How about you go to the Gap? You go to Banana Republic? You go to Macy's, Kohl's? Who has? Everybody has a credit card. Would you like to save an additional 10% by opening up a credit card today? Well, very good. But most people say, yeah. So they open up that credit card account, save 10%, and the credit card interest rate is 22%. You have to make sure you're looking at these things. Am I being a good steward? On average, people spend between 12 and 18% more when they use credit cards. Cash is tangible. When you pull it out, sometimes it's just hard to part with. Just think about McDonald's. The average credit card order at McDonald's, $7. The average cash order, $4.50. Take that $2.50 and add it to your offering. Am I being a good steward? But in America, the richest country in the world, we always have to have the latest and the greatest. I don't even know what iPhone we're up to. And, you know, DVDs, first they came out. Then we had Blu-ray DVD players. Now we have HD Blu-ray players. We have something every day. Something's always coming out. And guess what? It's coming out because there's a market for it. Everybody's racing to spend money. Am I being a good steward? We have to change our way of thinking. So when you go home and you look at the budget, remember, am I being a good steward? Can somebody read Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9? Again, something I learned the hard way. Again, that's why the budget starts with the tithe. Are we honoring God with the first fruits of our increase? Am I being a good steward? We all know Malachi, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not for you open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Again, am I being a good steward? Luke chapter 16, verses 10 and 11. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Again, am I being a good steward? And I'm going to leave you with 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have stayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Again, am I being a good steward? That's Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. So the first baby step is the $1,000 starter emergency fund. Now, the one thing I should have said at the beginning, the baby steps, we're all at different levels of the baby step. So when we get to where you fit in, you can just jump in and, you know, start the baby steps from there. But baby step number one, if this is where you need to start, then again, $1,000 set aside for your starter emergency fund. And if you have trouble making it to that $1,000, please utilize the budget that I handed out, because I will tell you that with that exercise, most people find money in their budget. When you're intentional, and when you tell every dollar where to go, and when you know where every dollar is being spent, you tend to find where the waste was. If the IRS never sent me that letter, guess how many gym memberships I would have to today? I would have 3. I would have 17 channels of HBO. I will have world-class speed internet, because I was not a good steward. And at the very end of your budget, where you bring in your income and then you deduct all your categories, you should have a zero balance, because that's when you know that all your money is being directed somewhere along your budget.
And guess what?
If at the end of the month you have some extra dollars, find a category and move those dollars there. So if you like to go out and eat, hey, and you have $50 at the end of your budget, add that to dinner with your honey. Remember, budgets are not restricted. They're there to free you up to do the things that you want to do.
Take that back.
As to be a good steward. And in that, God will bless you.
Now, next week, we will be tackling baby steps 2 and 3. I'll give you a quick preview.